Pesach, we all know that the focal point of the Slichos and the part that's the most critical, and that if you only catch one part of the Slichos, it is the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. And if you find yourself in the middle of a paragraph somewhere because you can't read all of those words in the amount of time that whatever minyan you happen to be davening in over the next 2 weeks says all those words, and then the tzibur gets up to the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, you of course skip straight to the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim and you join the tzibur in the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim. And it would be worthwhile to spend some time to study what they mean, what those Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim actually represent, what they actually mean, what exactly we're coming to the Ribbono Shalom with. The Gemara tells us that we have a haftacha that we're not going to be chozos reikam, that when we come with the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to send us back empty-handed. I just want to focus on one of the Midos Harachamim for a minute, and it's something I mentioned in the Tuesday night shir this past week, so I ask Mechila for those that this is Chazara for, at least for the first couple of minutes, and that is a Tosos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Tosos in Maseches Rosh Hashanah tries to explain what exactly the Midah of Chanun is. And Tosos explains, Aval Chanun hu shechonin be'is hadchak ligol hatzoek, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would respond to our tefilos when we cry out to Him. K'dichsiv Chanun yachmecha l'kol za'akecha. Umidah zu kavayachol shebal koach yesh lo lochun al hatzoek af shelo kedin. And sometimes a person is put in a position of authority where he's able to make life and death decisions about others, and certainly that would be a mashal. The nimshal would be the Ribbono Shel Olam is in a position where he's making life and death decisions about us, and by all rights, when the facts are studied in a cold way, where you're just looking at the positives and the negatives, at the merits and what and the demerits, by all rights, the answer should probably be no on many occasions. But a bal koach has the ability to have rachmanus on a tzoek, on someone who cries out, af shelo kedin, even if it's against the halacha, even if it doesn't seem to be just. Kidichsiv v'haya ki yitzak elai v'shamati, when you cry out to me, I hear you, ki chanun ani, because I am chanun. That's what chanun means. Kolomar, af al pi shebadin, baha avot yodecha, kilvisa lav ma'osecha, af al pi kein tashivelo. That even though minadin, that maybe a person should lose his collateral, he hasn't paid back his loan, nevertheless will return the collateral to him. Ki im yitzak elai, hamidi hikach, she'eshmatza akaso. Because when a person cries, when a person gets emotional, I know that certainly when people come collecting tzedakah, so it's very, very difficult when someone comes collecting tzedakah and you know there are limits of what you can give and you're trying to live your life within a certain seder, and someone just breaks down and they just lose control, they just break down and say, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through another day, I just don't know what the next day holds, and then we push ourselves beyond our limits a little bit. It has a certain effect. And that's what we're approaching the Ribbono Shalom with. I mean, according to Tosos, the Midah of Chanun represents that it's not just that we're davening to Hashem. It's not just that we're presenting our case to Hashem, because frankly, we don't have a case. For most of us, we don't have a solid case to present as to why it is that we deserve the continuation of the various brachos that we already have, and we have many of them, and why it is that we deserve the rachmanos for those things that where we can use a little extra bracha. But there's a certain effect that tears have on the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now we come to the Ribbono Shel Olam with tsa'aka, crying out, when we make a desperate plea, and that's what Yemei HaSlichos are about. Yemei HaSlichos, what goes unsaid but emerges from Tosos, is that it's not enough to say the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. And, you know, obviously the first step is being here and waking up early each morning and saying the Slichos and doing all that, but that's not enough. We have to be mentally present. We have to be in the moment. We have to be able to throw our emotions into it. And it's not always so easy to bring up the emotions and channel them properly. And maybe that's why the ideal time for Slichos are typically the quietest times where nothing else is going on. Chatzos HaLaila, or the way late hours of the night, right before Amud HaShachar, those are the most ideal times for Slichos, because we can be quiet with our thoughts at those times. We can be honest with ourselves without all the extra distractions that normally are present throughout our daily lives. And I just want to maybe give a mashal to this, and it's a little bit out of my comfort zone, I guess, to give this kind of mashal, but, you know, we'll try it and see if it works. There is a person, I don't know if any of you have ever heard, there's a fellow by the name of Barrett Robbins. Does that name mean anything to anybody here? Barrett Robbins would only be a name that would mean something to you if you are an extremely avid sports fan with a very long memory. Otherwise, it probably does not mean all that much to you. Barrett Robbins is a 6'5" gentleman who weighs 300 pounds in tip-top shape, and he was built like an offensive lineman, and therefore, unsurprisingly, it's exactly what his career choice was. He was an offensive lineman. In fact, he was an all-pro center. He was an all-pro center for the I don't know who I'm messing with here. He was an all-pro center for the Oakland Raiders. And as professional athletes do, he worked his entire life to perfect his craft and become the best in the world, and ultimately with the goal of winning the Super Bowl. And he was the anchor of the Raiders' offensive line, and he helped carry that team to the 2003 Super Bowl, which was going to be played in San Diego, California. On the Friday night before the Super Bowl, the biggest game of his life, everything he's been working his entire life to be present for and to be there and to succeed, on the Friday night before the game, Barrett Robbins dropped his wife off at the team family hotel where the family members of the team were staying, with plenty of time to still make it back to the team hotel in time for the 11 o'clock curfew that evening. Everything was aligned perfectly. There was an early morning meeting, team meeting the next morning, and everything was working out the way it was supposed to. Except then the time for the team meeting came the next morning and Barrett Robbins wasn't there. The coaches, the players, they had no idea where he was. They knocked on his hotel room door. No one answered. They didn't know what to do. They knocked a little louder. They got security to open up the door. His bed wasn't even messed up. He had never been back to bed. He was nowhere to be found, and no one had any idea where he was. In fact, Barrett Robbins had no idea where he was either. You see, Barrett Robbins didn't wake up until 4 p.m. that Saturday in Tijuana, Mexico, after a night of partying that landed him in Tijuana, Mexico. And needless to say, Barrett Robbins did not play the Super Bowl that year. He was not permitted to play the Super Bowl that year. He didn't remember exactly how he got there, but he let his entire team down. In fact, the quotes from that time period were from his teammates were, "If Barrett Robbins comes back next year, I am not coming back next year. He's let us all down." And it seems like a humorous story. Like, how does a guy end up in Tijuana, Mexico? It's not that far from San Diego, but still, like, a passport probably across the border, and there's no wall, but, you know, that it's still, it's like a strange thing that how does a guy end up there? But it's not a funny story at all, because you see, Barrett Robbins suffered from severe depression, and he was probably lucky to be alive at all. And his life spiraled out of control after that. And I think of this as like a mashal. I can't help but think that what happened to Barrett Robbins on a professional level, now, how does a person end up missing the most important thing that he's been working his entire life to? He obviously wasn't healthy. He obviously was not a mentally healthy person. I think that to a certain extent, that same thing happens to us on a spiritual level. That we work all year. We daven, we learn each day, we do chesed when there's a need for it, and look for chesed sometimes when there's not a need for it, or when there's no obvious need for it. There's always a need for it, but when there's no obvious need for it, we send our kids to the finest yeshivas. We're scrupulous about halacha to the extent that we can be, and we try our best. And all of this leads up to Yemei HaDin. It all leads up to this tremendous crescendo in Yom HaKippurim. And what often happens to us, though, is what happened to Barrett Robbins. You know, the big day gets close, and we approach the Yom HaGadol VaAnora, and we inexplicably, we just check out. And we find out that when Yom Kippur comes and we wish to experience to its fullest, our neshamos are in Tijuana, Mexico, and they're not ready to experience what we should be experiencing, what we ought to be experiencing. Because although we've done those consistent things that get us there, when we really needed to buckle down, when we really needed to increase our focus, when we really needed to pay more attention, we weren't up to the task. And we expected to just come in that moment, and you know, we maybe do feel those moments of inspiration during the beautiful tefillos on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, but that's not enough. That's a fleeting moment. It's not enough unless there's serious preparation in advance. It's not enough to just show up on the day. You know, the Rambam famously writes in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Afal pi shetkiyah shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeres hakasuv. Even though Tkiyah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah is a gzeres hakasuv remez yeshbo, there is a remez to the mitzvah of Shofar. Kolomar, uru yishenim mishinaschem v'nirdamim hikitzu mitirdamaschem. That those who are sleeping should wake up from their slumber. We should wake up from our naps. V'chipsu b'maaseichem, we should search out our actions. V'chizru b'tshuva v'zirchu barachem. And we should do tshuva, and we should remember the Ribbono Shel Olam. Elu hashochim es ha'emes behevle hazman v'shogim kol shnasam behevel v'rik asher lo yoil v'lo yatzil. And this is referring to people who forget the emes. Why? Because they're busy with hevle hazman, with silliness, with stupidity. We're busy with hevel v'rik, things that are lo yoil v'lo yatzil, things that don't ultimately help. Rav Meir Tversky pointed out recently in the name of his father, Zichrono Livracha, that, you know, if I were to ask you, who needs to do tshuva? Who is what's the mechayev of tshuva? So you would say, the mechayev of tshuva, a person who needs to do tshuva, is a person who sinned. Sinners repent. Now, otherwise you don't need to repent if you're not a sinner. Though, yet the Rambam doesn't say, uru chotim mechata aschem, that wake up you sinners and repent. No, he says, uru yishenim, not sinners. Yeah, and the truth is, when we think of ourselves, no one thinks of ourselves as sinners. I don't think I'm a pretty good guy. I have my flaws. Everybody has their flaws, but I work hard. I love my family. I daven every day. I learn with some level of consistency. A sinner? You know, that's a little bit of a harsh label to put on me. I'm a decent person. But the Rambam doesn't tell the sinners to do tshuva. The Rambam tells the slumberers to do tshuva. Not shuvu chote michato osechem, uri yeshenim mishinaschem. What kind of slumber is he speaking about? What does it mean a slumberer has to do tshuva? So obviously he's not referring to physical rest. He says explicitly, those who are busy with hevle hazman, that we so eagerly engage in, nothingness, silliness, stupidity, how much of our time, even the busiest among us, and you know, certainly there are many very busy people in this room right now, but even the busiest among us, how many hours have we spent on what can properly be categorized as hevle hazman? What do I mean by hevle hazman? Hevle hazman means things that ultimately, in the long run, lo yoil v'lo yatzil. In the long run, they don't have all that much meaning. You know, the mashal, I remember a few months ago, my mother-in-law was trying to explain to my daughter what my wife was interested in as a little child. And she said, oh, she had the most amazing, extensive collection of Cabbage Patch dolls. And like, for my daughter, that's like worthless. That doesn't mean anything. A hevle hazman are a fad. They're something that was once something very chashuv, but means nothing to us from a long-term perspective. And, you know, that's talking over decades, but you talk over centuries. You know, imagine you're told, oh, you know who you descend from? Your ancestors were the most unbelievable mafricha yonim. They can race a pigeon like it's nobody's business. I mean, they were like what would that mean to us? That's sad. How much time did they spend on that mafricha yonim thing? And someone, the other guy's grandfather was writing, I don't know, Rashi on Shas, you know, he was and Rashi on Chumash, and that's what they were busy with. That's what they, with mafricha yonim, hevle hazman. That's what the Rambam's talking about, and the Rambam mentions it, Rav Tversky pointed out, a few other times. The Rambam, in the ninth parak of Hilchos Teshuvah, he writes, Im nazuf haTorah midas v'nasok behev le'azman, we're going to suffer terribly. Again, he doesn't talk about leaving Torah in order to do averos. Obviously, to do averos. Forget about averos, Rambam says. What about all of the nothingness in our lives? What about all of the stupidity? What about, you know, the incessant, you know, checking of our Facebook pages and our Twitter just to see the you know, to make sure that in the last 32 seconds nothing has changed in the world that is that is going to shatter my existence, or that's going to change something, that just to make sure that I don't miss the newest meme that I'll forget in the second after I shut off my phone anyway. Hevle asman, just stupidities that come through. Okay, so maybe we have to adjust a little bit. I'm not saying that all of these things are, and all of these mediums are terrible, but to give them a time, to not be constantly with the hevle asman. So how does one combat hevle asman? Well, there's a third place where the Rambam talks about hevle asman. The Rambam in Hilchos Mezuzah, he mentions this phrase when he describes the function of a mezuzah. Rambam writes, Kol zman sheikonis v'yetze yivka b'yuchra shem shmo shel kodesh baruch hu v'yizkar ahavaso. You see the mezuzah on the way in and out of a room, and you remember the ribonu shalom, and you remember his love, v'yeir mishinaso v'shigiyosav behevle azman. And you'll wake up from your sleep, that same lashon, and all of the time you spent in hevle azman. Meaning, simply be spiritually alert. Pay attention to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Talk about the Ribbono Shel Olam. When your children ask you, how did you accomplish something? Well, with the Ribbono Shel Olam's help, I was able to do this. Make the Ribbono Shel Olam a real presence in our households. Someone that we think about on the way in and on the way out of every room. So Rabosai, our avoda during this time, and really throughout the year, but specifically during this time, is first and foremost to pay attention. When Ne'ilah comes on Yom Kippur, we don't want to be standing on the sidelines watching the rest of the team thinking, what the heck am I doing in Tijuana, Mexico? We want to be involved. We want to be there. The enemy of greatness is not sin. The enemy of greatness is indifference and emptiness. It is Hevle Hazman. So let us be present tonight and each and every day and each and every night going forward. Cry out to Hashem, Chanun, with real tza'aka, real tefillah, because we know when that's our approach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the tefillah is not chazeres rekam. The Ribbono Shel Olam, Mirtzi Hashem, listen to all of our tefillahs.